Chapter 13. "Yes," said Harry Seldon wearily, "it was a great triumph. I had a wonderful time. I can hardly wait until I'm 70 so I can repeat it. But the fact is, I'm exhausted." "So get yourself a good night's sleep, Dad," said Rach, smiling. "That's an easy cure." "I don't know how well I can relax when I have to see our great leader in a few days." "Not alone you won't see him," said Doris Van Ebbele grimly. Seldon frowned. "Don't say that again, Doris. It is important for me to see him alone." "It won't be safe with you alone. Do you remember what happened 10 years ago when you refused to let me come with you to greet the gardeners?" "There is no danger of my forgetting when you remind me of it twice a week, Doris. In this case, though, I intend to go alone. What can he want to do to me if I come in as an old man, utterly harmless, to find out what he wants?" "What do you imagine he wants?" said Rach, biting at his knuckle. "I suppose he wants what Cleon always wanted. It will turn out that he has found out that psychohistory can in some way predict the future, and he will want to use it for his own purposes. I told Cleon the science wasn't up to it nearly 30 years ago, and I kept telling him that all through my tenure as First Minister. And now I'll have to tell General Tenar the same thing."
"How do you know he'll believe you?" said Rach.
"I'll think of some way of being convincing." Doris said, "I do not wish you to go alone." "Your wishing, Doris, makes no difference." At this point, Temuel Ilar interrupted. He said, "I'm the only non-family person here. I don't know if a comment from me would be welcome."
"Go ahead," said Seldon. "Come one, come all."
"I would like to suggest a compromise. Why don't a number of us go with the maestro, quite a few of us? We can act as his triumphal escort, a kind of finale to the birthday celebration. Now wait, I don't mean that we will all crowd into the general's offices. I don't even mean entering the Imperial Palace grounds. We can just take hotel rooms in the Imperial sector at the edge of the grounds. The Dome's Edge Hotel would be just right. And we'll give ourselves a day of pleasure."
"That's just what I need," snorted Seldon. "A day of pleasure."
"Not you, maestro," said Ilar at once. "You'll be meeting with General Tenar. The rest of us, though, will give the people of the Imperial sector a notion of your popularity, and perhaps the general will take note also. And if he knows we're all waiting for your return, it may keep him from being unpleasant."
There was a considerable silence after that. Finally, Rach said,
"It sounds too showy to me. It don't fit in with the image the world has of Dad."
But Doris said,
"I'm not interested in Harry's image. I'm interested in Harry's safety. It strikes me that if we cannot invade the general's presence or the imperial grounds, then allowing ourselves to accumulate, so to speak, as near the general as we can, might do us well. Thank you, Dr. Ilar, for a very good suggestion."
"I don't want it done," said Seldon.
"But I do," said Doris. "And if that's as close as I can get to offering you personal protection, then that much I will insist on."
Manella, who had listened to it all without comment till then, said,
"Visiting the Dome's Edge Hotel could be a lot of fun."
"It's not fun I'm thinking of," said Doris, "but I'll accept your vote in favor."
And so it was. The following day, some 20 of the higher echelon of the Psychohistory Project descended on the Dome's Edge Hotel, with rooms overlooking the open spaces of the Imperial Palace grounds.
The following evening, Harry Seldon was picked up by the general's armed guards and taken off to the meeting. At almost the same time, Doris Venevoli disappeared. But her absence was not noted for a long time. And when it was noted, no one could guess what had happened to her, and the gaily festive mood turned rapidly into apprehension.